Welcome, my friends, to the podcast that never ends, where we gather our clan and talk about peace and love in our lives, the difficulties along the journey, and how we rise up. We will experience a little thing I call Kluberty together, find our sweet spot, and planting our seeds to watch them grow in our magic garden. I'm Uncle Dave, and our transformation starts right here. Hey now, and how are you doing? Welcome to the next episode of Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. Love to introduce my guest today, Dave Thompson, who's like a super dad, super gentleman. He's amazing. He's a TEDx speaker. He's the workforce development director of the Nichols Center. He's coordinated with a whole bunch of other things related to autism, and that's one of the reasons why we're bringing him on as starting off Autism Month in April, and just want to get more awareness out there. So, hey, Dave, how's it going?
Good now, man. I'm so glad to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me, and what an intro. You're so kind.
Okay, yeah, no, you're amazing. I didn't even list all the cool things, and being the super dad, right? I saw this past weekend you built the fort in right with your daughter. So I know
every weekend, man. It's I'm not good at everything as far as being a dad. I do pride myself on being a good dad, but I'm not the most natural parent figure. I get flustered and stuff. But there's a few things I'm really good at, and I stick to what I'm good at. So forts is a weekly thing. But she keeps compromising the structural integrity of my forts, Dave, and I don't know what to do.
Well, I think enjoy them. So my girls are teenagers. So what I would say to you is keep bringing the peace and love with the forts until they don't want you part of the fort building or anything else at that time.
For sure. And that's why I'm documenting it as well, so I can always remember the times when she would tolerate being around me.
Yeah, it's definitely an ebb and flow process at times. But definitely enjoy it. Because I know that's one of the things, that's one of your peace and love is family, you know, is one of the things that brings you the most peace and love.
I mean, it's all I'm looking for. In fact, and we can get into my role at the Nichols Center a little bit, you know, as it comes out. But I, due to a family issue, I realized that I had to relocate and I'm moving to Nashville in a couple months. And I told my, until I said it out loud, I didn't even realize it, but I said to my executive director of the nonprofit that I serve, I said, you know, the only reason that I would ever leave this job is for my family. There's two things that I like. So my family comes first, and then the work that I do and the mission that I have. That's what gives me peace and love, obviously. That's what I'm all about. I don't need, I got a bunch of friends that are content creators and help me drive my mission forward, like you and people that I like talking to, like you and George and some others. Besides that, I'm a homebody, man. I just work and I hang out with my family. Those are the things that give me joy.
Yeah, no, and I've been part of that, I guess, your Zoomiverse and, you know, all the things that you do at the Nichols Center. So, you know, the Star Wars night, right? You just had to mention Star Wars to me and I'm like, all right, you know, let's check it out. And so why don't you tell me a little bit about the Nichols Center? So that way for people who don't know about it.
Yeah, so... The Nichols Center, to put it really simply, and this won't mean too much because I think that there are a lot of human services agencies out there, but the Nichols Center is a human services agency that provides vocational training and life skills training and experiences to teens and young adults, mostly with autism, but with other learning differences as well. I'm a neurodiverse person myself. I don't have autism, but I have a couple things going on that make me think differently. And so I was always drawn to that field, helping people kind of helps me. But the Nichols Center is a really special nonprofit. There's a few things that we're doing, a few really innovative things that are really fulfilling. You know, we're really fulfilling the mission that we say we're working towards. And I'd say we're a couple years ahead of a lot of other human services agencies in the field. One really exciting thing is Spectrum Designs Foundation. So we're not the same company, but we're the exclusive partner agency of a separate nonprofit that was founded by the same people. So we work extremely closely together with this nonprofit called Spectrum Designs Foundation. They're an apparel decoration, screen printing, embroidery, heat transfer, item fulfillment company that employs and provides vocational training experiences to the people I serve at the Nicholas Center. So I have a staff of job coaches and support people that support people at work who, without that constant support, might not be able to be gainfully employed. So there are several individuals that are within the Nicholas Center space that work for Spectrum Designs Foundation. There's also two, you can check them out at spectrumdesigns.org. There's also two affiliate enterprises that are smaller, but also really exciting. One of our two Spectrum and Nicholas Center locations is in Port Washington, New York. And there we have Spectrum Suds, which is a boutique laundry service. So we do free pickup and drop off in the neighborhood for a lot of retirees and other people who are still quarantining. We do excellent laundry service for them. It's a smaller enterprise, but we have several people gainfully employed with that. And then we have Spectrum Bakes, which is the best granola products you've ever had, spectrumbakes.org. And that ships all over the country. And those are a great thing to bring to a party. It's you know, purposeful and impactful when you're going to bring someone a gift anyway or whatever. And you just have to try the granola bars and bites and chocolate covered pretzels and stuff to understand how good it is. None of these products or services are a favor. Then that's not how they're supposed to be viewed. They're just supposed to be a company, you know, an impactful way to do some things that you would have been doing anyway, like getting your laundry done, getting t-shirts for your high school reunion or your company or whatever. You know, getting granola products or going to a bakery. Instead, you could do something way more impactful. So we see it as really like a win-win, not a charity, but not a favor. Just you know, just good business and a good lifestyle choice to support things that that matter, you know. You know, so there's those two things. And then Nicholas Center does a lot of other really exciting stuff. I have a news show called Nicholas Center News, where the tagline is "the news that matters from our perspective." And it's not my perspective that I'm talking about, it's the participants who historically have been so you know, kind of cast aside in society and not included. We're all about inclusivity, and I'll probably use the word inclusion 200 times in our conversation today. So this is a, you know, I've kind of used my podcasting savvy, and stuff to make something kind of special for them to be able to report on stuff that matters to them. That's another thing we're up to. And then the Zoomiverse, which you had mentioned, and you came to party a little while ago. So during quarantine, we started the Zoomiverse in kind of a piecemeal way. So like everything, almost a year to the day from now, March 13th, everything shut down. And you know, for people with autism, they generally really benefit from structure and knowing what to expect and continuing on whatever plans or goals they have. And so we knew we had to pull through for those we serve during quarantine. So we immediately, you know, stayed up the whole weekend and built out an entire website to provide virtual services and kind of recreate a lot of the things that they're doing during the day in person, we were doing online. So this has been formalized, and now it's the Zoomiverse.com. And we're rather than getting rid of it, when, you know, most of us were back from quarantine, we're actually expanding upon it, because why should people that are seeking services and looking to become gainfully employed and stuff, why should that only happen in these two small towns in New York where the Nicholas Center has a presence? Why don't we expand nationally and even globally via the Zoomiverse? So we have structured activities and stuff during the day, work readiness programming, health and wellness programming, community exploration stuff where we're, you know, getting different people from different organizations and companies and tours coming on and stuff. And then at night we have social groups, which are really exciting. We have our evening social club, which is a blast. And so you came to Star Wars night, and we had a different nonprofit called the 501st Legion come on. They have some sort of an exclusive right to use the Star Wars intellectual property. So they have like the most official and movie authentic costumes you can imagine, with like voice changers inside their helmets and all this stuff. And they're like I'm not so familiar with Star Wars, honestly, but like they're, I guess, the villains from Star Wars. So it's like Darth Vader and C-3PO and all different wacky characters from there came on. We have guests all the time. We have rockers come on. We have magicians and all different stuff. Just to, you know, it's a learning and leisure platform. So it's not just about fun and games. There's plenty to gain for everybody by being part of this. And even for when we open it up to the public. So for someone like you to come in and be exposed to their world, we're creating, you know, a more inclusive world virtually on the Zoomiverse and in person in Port Washington and in Pleasantville, New York. So it, as you can tell by my rambling, I think I have the best job in the world, and I'm so, so excited to be a part of it. And we do have a lot going on.
Yeah, no, and actually, I just purchased a whole bunch of T-shirts from you. So there's a couple of the Uncle Dave, you know, the peace, love, and ring a bat with the Uncle Dave picture. So we have a couple of T-shirts. I'm waiting for them to come in. And then also, I'm running out this organization, Goons for Good, which you might have mentioned, you might have heard me talk about. But that's part of what I do, is how I want to support people like yourself and the Spectrum Designs and things like that. I heard chocolate covered. I heard a whole bunch of stuff, but I also heard chocolate covered pretzels. I'm like, dude, we got to look into that. Obviously, when this episode launches, drops, using the right lingo, is I want to make sure we have all those links. I'll make sure that we have all those links, so that way people could check it out. Who doesn't? You know, locally, how far? So in relation to the laundry service, how far do you go? Are you really just staying Port Washington area?
Yeah, that's really just super. That's the hyper local thing. So when we talk about what we do, it's probably one of the last things that we mention, only because it's a very small target market that we're looking to serve with that industry. It's pretty much within town. It's a big town, yep. But we have about 40 or 50 customers who some of them get their laundry done more than once a week. We even have like local town, like municipalities, like the water company and stuff, getting their stuff washed from us, local medical buildings and things like that. So it's a ton
of medical
business, but
yeah, there's a ton of medical buildings. And that's why I was like, okay, how far out do you go? You know, if it's mainly in the town, right now we're still, you know, my podcast is a little smaller reach, but it does have a nice reach on Long Island throughout the island. And, just never know. I mean, that's one of those Goons for Good. If I know somebody in Port Washington who's having some challenges, you know, I like to know a guy, you know, and if you know a guy, that's what you do, is you share the knowledge.
Of course, man, you put your feelers out there and, you know, something's going to stick. And that's part of the reason why I love building friendships with do-gooder folks like you, because, this is really, this is small or not, this is really important work that you're doing. And this is where content creation and kind of forward facing messaging should be going, is like not just talking the talk, but actually, you know, you were able to say, I already ordered shirts. So like just by doing that, you're already you already support autism employment even before you even have me on the show. So thank you for that. It's a really cool thing. And Goons for Good is a really exciting project. I can't wait to hear more about it and to, hopefully be involved in any way I can in the future. If you ever need anything from me, I love this stuff, man.
Well, that's the thing, is connection. So now you're moving down to Tennessee. So guess what? You know, you'll hear people or things that go on in Tennessee that I might not, as being, not on the ground. I have a few people on the ground in Tennessee, but it's always good to have more, just to look it out. So that's the only thing I could ask, is if you believe in what I do, then pass it around. Make sure people either hear about it, or if you think of a connection, because one of the things is I do as the Goons for Good is to make sure I support the local 501c3s. That's not saying that the national ones aren't worthy to do it, but there's also a lot of really good people who move the dial. Like, as you said, there is lots of organizations like the Nichols Center who work in their communities and move the dial in their communities. But if there's somebody who I can connect with, I'd rather move my friend's dial and that mission along that, rather than helping out the American Red Cross, which is a great cause. But there's a lot of people, they're going to get their money anyway. That's sort of what they do.
And and even those massive organizations are seeing now that they need to partner and affiliate themselves with the people who are the boots on the ground that are, not to downplay what they're doing, but the people that are, quote, like doing the real work. Like it is super impactful to be supporting organizations that are literally, like, you know, it's completely transparent. They're literally just putting their money directly towards, you know, improving the lives of the people that need it the most. It's just much more direct. So, I'm having conversations with organizations that they're even kind of acknowledging that they'd never say don't donate to us, but you know, that they're acknowledging that it's like, turning around a cruise ship or something like that. It takes hours, right? So like a massive organization that can lobby for a new law, like, yeah, I need those guys. I need to be involved with those guys, but can they pivot overnight and create a virtual learning platform when COVID hits and be serving, you know, and still be serving 90% of the people that they serve overnight? Absolutely not. Can they be trying things and failing and seeing what sticks on the scale that they're doing them? Not as easily, right? So it is, I love being part of a small organization, a small operation. We are growing, we're scaling slowly and responsibly, but we've only been around 10 years. And in that time, we've created hundreds of job opportunities and seen incredible successes and moments and victories. It's a very exciting thing to be a part of.
Yeah, I could imagine, and you know, I hear the energy that when you talk about it. So, how did you find the Nicholas Center as a place? Was it something that just was a job opportunity that you were lucky enough to find, or was it something that you were seeking?
So, coming out of college, I knew I wanted to help people. I didn't really know what that meant, and I didn't really have a huge agenda besides that. I realized that public service and helping people help me and, you know, help me get through some things. I don't think I really had the best upbringing. And there was some times where I needed some attention and some innovation, some outside the box thinking and constant support. And I didn't get that stuff. And so I knew I wanted to kind of shake things up in the human services world, started applying for jobs with, you know, people who were homeless, people with HIV AIDS, people with developmental disabilities, all different populations of people. Ended up in the space of working in a residential facility for teenagers caught up in the juvenile justice system of New York City. That's where I really cut my teeth. And it was a really transformative time for me. I was, you know, 22 or so, and I spent a couple years there. And that's where I learned to like be put in really difficult situations and not kind of, you know, because I was, believe it or not, not the most type A kind of kid. I was, a nervous dude and someone who wasn't really so proactive in my own life and about speaking up for myself or about making sure what was right was what was happening, right? So working with those kids who needed some extra support from me, it was really transformative for me because it toughened me up and it motivated me a lot. Within that space, I was really disappointed with the lack of meaningful opportunities that those kids were being provided. It was pretty heartbreaking and it kind of felt very limiting. Obviously, it felt horrible and limiting for them, but it also felt kind of horrible and limiting for me because when you're trying to help people within a system that just doesn't work, there's only, you know, I felt, as someone who wasn't that experienced in the human services field, that there was only so much I could do. Now that I'm, you know, in the position that I'm in, I have much more capability of kind of challenging the system and I know what I'm talking about. And I'm comfortable having those difficult conversations with the people that I need to. So anyway, that said, when I heard about Nicholas Center and Spectrum Designs Foundation and how they were giving this population of people the opportunity to have a job where they would be, whereas they would otherwise be quote unquote, like unemployable elsewhere. Like if they could they bag groceries without a one-on-one support person? Probably not. That's kind of my test that I do in my head to show you the kind of, you know, the people's challenges that are being gainfully employed at Spectrum Designs. I saw that and I said, I have to get involved somehow. So I came in as a direct support job coach. I was extremely motivated, and within 8 weeks, this position was kind of carved out for me, and I've grown with the company, and we've had kind of a meteoric rise in the past six or so years that I've been there. And it again, I know I keep saying it, but I'm so stoked on it. It's such an exciting thing to be a part of, and I can't picture doing anything else. Just because, you know, we can count on one hand the amount of projects in the country that are making the kind of impact that we're making with the population that we're making it with. And that's not to say that, again, that it's not a favor. We have a group of individuals that is so, so talented and could do so many things, Dave, no offense, but could do so many things better than you or I ever could. They have some incredible skills, but they also have some challenges. And to see those people and see the looks on their faces when they get their first paycheck, or the looks on their mom's faces when they get their first paycheck, it is so palpable, that energy. And I never want anything else besides to be enabling those opportunities for people.
Yeah, you know? No, I could definitely imagine, because that's really one of the things about giving back and being part of a situation like that. When you help somebody, it doesn't matter what situation they're in. That's the charge. That's that energy of like, oh my God. And as for them being better than me, that's not really a high bar. I'm sure, you know, in that, you know, I mean, I saw your TEDx. I mean, you know, your TEDx with Josh, and I've listened to your podcast with Josh as we're now currently traveling around the country. But, you know, yeah, it's just getting the right opportunity. I mean, that's what many of us need to do. And it's the stigmas that people go, oh, they have whatever label we have, even, you know, when you were mentioning about being neurodiverse, and you get a stigma, and guess what? There's a conversation that needs to be had about that. And that's where, you know, I appreciate you stepping forward and being a leader in having those conversations. Go, yes, this is the challenges we can tell you up front, but that doesn't mean that's not the end of the story.
It's funny that you say that, because oddly enough, even though I talk about my job like it's the best thing in the world, because it is, I actually wasn't like out. I wasn't public about the way I think or the fact that I was in special ed my entire life, skated through college. I didn't talk about that stuff for a long time. And one of the reasons being that we already kind of covered it, but when I was working in that group home for foster care kids caught up in the juvenile justice system, it was a really tough group, and most of the staff were really tough too. And I, not only was that the only staff member that wasn't a parent, I was the only staff member that wasn't a grandparent. This is in Jamaica, Queens. A lot of retired off-duty police officers, corrections officers, people that have worked years in the mental health space. And so I was helping one of the residents with their homework after school, and I'm horrible at math. And this kid was really frustrated. And he said to me, like, I can't do this. And I was like, yeah, you can, man. Listen, I'm bad at this stuff too. I have ADHD. I have dyslexia. I was in special ed just like you. But it's my job to help you do it. It's your job to get it done. And then we'll go play ball or something outside. But we have to get this done. And the house manager, like, pulled me to the side and was like, never say that ever again. I was like, why? They were like, people will use it against you. The staff here will use it against you. The kids, you know, the kids' support systems, the kids themselves will use it against you. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about your business. I thought that it was a great teachable moment for someone to say, like, look where I am. Like, I'm doing okay. I have a job and, you know, whatever. And I shut up about it. And I didn't talk about it for a really, really long time until I was at a convention with my executive director last year. And there's been moments at work where, you know, people have been like, why do you always have headphones in? Why are you always listening to, like, you know, I listen to like binaural feedback, like kind of noises in my headphones all day to drown out noise. And I've never like disclosed, like, oh, it's just because like I get distracted easily. It helps me zone in, whatever. So I was at this conference with my executive director, and people, as they were raising their hand in like a Q&A, were saying like, my name's Jim. I have autism. And then somebody else said, my name is John. I don't have autism, but I do. Someone said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And someone else said, like, I have, you know, a prosthetic arm. I was like, well, this is a conference about neurodiversity, and all these people are disclosing all this stuff that makes them different. This is really special. And this creates like less of an othering and more of like a, everyone has their stuff going on. So in the car on the way back to the Airbnb with my executive director, I was like, you know what? I got to tell you something. And I made this huge deal. She was like, and she was like, that's cool. Like, it was a big, big moment for me. It was not a huge moment for her, which is a positive thing. And that's why she's such a mentor and a hero to me. But yeah, it's so important. I think it's so important to be vulnerable and to talk about your differences, not just as what makes you, what the reason why you need some sort of an accommodation or as an excuse or something like that, but as what makes you different, what makes you special, what makes you great. And there's something to be said for everyone, you know, regarding that.
Yeah, you need to find your clan. Like a part of my intro is talking about finding your clan or your tribe, the people where you feel safe. And that's what I hope that my podcast does, is it's a safe place to talk about those things, because we want to make sure that, look, you're changing lives, right? So when you wanted to be in a position to change lives, that's what you're doing, no matter how you look at it. And that's the really important part, is to see that even with our flaws. I mean, that's why I've been embracing the Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave is a guy who, you know, the first time that my friend Stacy called me Uncle Dave, we were in the middle of statewide recovery day. We were in Senator Hannon's office, and I was there with a bunch of mothers who were talking about the horrible disease of addiction. And I saw that the glass eyes, were all there. And I was like, no, let's have this conversation related to X, Y, and Z. I'm not talking about the stigma. I can't imagine having lost a child or being in the world of addiction or any of the other areas, but let's talk about the facts. That's why, you know, as I said before we started recording, is that's what I want to do, is talk about these things, that these are, people could do these things. As you said, it's not going to be hard, but they're going to be better than me in a lot of things. Some things I could do as well, but it's the conversation, is finding the right tribe in that safety space to say, hey, Dave, I'm not able to do that, and not have to worry about those comments. And you definitely sound like you found for yourself the right tribe, the right people to feel safe around. And I thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah. And thank you for providing a space where me and hopefully others are able to do things like that, because cultivating that space, it's not just about a tribe. It's about places to have these conversations, you know? And so it's a really cool thing to be a part of, to be able to come on something that I know is going to be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and whatever, and talk about my truth, you know? So it's cool.
So what else have you unlearned? I mean, because you definitely have learned a lot of things, and by getting into it, is there anything that you had to unlearn besides, you know, being afraid to talk about your challenges?
I've had to, I think I got into it a little bit earlier, but I think that growing up, I didn't have the best support system growing up, and I could read into it and do like psychoanalysis on myself all day if you wanted me to. But like, all that you need to know is I didn't come out with any good sort of self-esteem, any good thoughts about myself, about my capabilities. Part of that is because of the way I think, issues about the way I looked, issues about, you know, the fact that I went bald at like 19. Now I don't care at all. But I think my unlearning had to do at that transformative time of like coming out of college and realizing that I was very motivated within my mission to support people and give people a voice and enable opportunities for people who need it most. I think realizing that I was worthy of all of those things myself, and of happiness and of success, was something, you know, I had to do some unlearning about my abilities and about my worthiness to get there. And there was probably a year or so, and I can't really put my finger on it because that was, again, rough transformative time for me, but where I kind of realized that I could speak about social issues and about myself, and I could work my butt off to get where I wanted to go. And I was someone that was worthy of a platform and of opportunity. That was a big moment for me.
Yeah. And I call that transformation process Kluberty. And it's when you have a clue of all the crap that you went through in life previously, and how, what made you think the way that you did, and how you were able to then transfer it to who you want to be, not who you are. You're not the stories of what we were. It's the stories of who you are going to be currently as well as in your future. It could be completely different.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. So I always like, because I always say that there's an R in everybody's heart. So I always tease around and I use a lot of R words. But do you have a favorite R word?
I will tell you an R word I don't like. I'm not going to say it out loud.
Yeah.
In the industry I'm in, yep. That is a, when you say R word, it's like a trigger for me. But I've worked with Special Olympics International in the past, and they have a great campaign called Spread the Word to End the Word. It's about ending the R word. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to kind of flip it and think about positive R words. And I think that's a really good thing to do, because we could take that term R word back and make it about something positive. R word. So maybe it's not such like a grandiose and deep idea, but routine is something that comes up in my routine all the time. I kind of already spoke to like my noise canceling headphones all the time, but I'm very kind of rule governed, but with my own rules and with what sets me up for success. And so, you know, that's my little accommodation that I have to give myself, is like extra time and like my own language practically on my to-do lists every day. And just, you know, these little things that I have to do every day to make me successful in my work and in my life. And if they don't go that way, like I'm supposed to, as an educator, an advocate, I'm supposed to be teaching people to be less rigid. So that's a bad word, rigid. but I do have some like rigidities in my routine that are really important to me, which stinks, because what we always say is like, then what happens when, you know, what happens when you watch your iPad for 3 hours every night and then like you don't have Wi-Fi one night? Like what happens to a young person like that, right? So routine is not always a good thing to be so dependent on, but it is my secret sauce, and it is how I am successful, is to abide by my own kind of rules and routine.
And that's actually, that leads into the bring a bat part. You know, I'm not sure how much you know about the bring a bat part. It doesn't have to do with sports. It's about creating those boundaries within ourselves to know where we stand and what's comfortable for us. Where's our safe zones? What are our non-negotiables? And that's where it's important. You have to know what your non-negotiables are. You know, like I know if I, you know, did certain things, you know, you might be like, hey, no, that's not cool with me. You know, like now if we go into a conversation about, you know, using that other R word, you know, that would be a non-negotiable. And of course, that should be a non-negotiable.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to kind of bring it up, because I knew it was the saying without saying what many people think about it. And that's one of the reasons why my next shirts that we're going to get from Spectrum is going to be, there's always an R in your heart, and in the center of the heart is the word respect. And, you know, that's what the R's should be. You know, not only respect, but, you know, routine isn't as sexy, but the answer is routine. We all get into routines. That's how we get certain things. Do you have any other ideas of like what would be bringing a bat for you in your non-negotiables?
I like that term, non-negotiables, and I think that historically, our mutual friend George, who was just on your show, always makes fun of me for starting sentences with, I don't know if you know, but I used to be in the punk scene. But I don't know if you know, but I came up as like a punk rocker when I was that kid that needed a little bit more support. That was my escape. I was kind of I didn't live on the streets or anything, but I was out from before school till nighttime with my knucklehead friends, started going to pretty rough environments, at 13 or so, you know, inclusive environments where age and gender and you know, arrest record didn't matter, you know, let off a lot of steam and mosh pits and things like that. And ever since those formative years of being this skateboarding punk kid in my hometown, I've had the same non-negotiables of like respect I mean, just in respect to me, and I know you just used it, it means something much more flowery and deep to me now. But I'm talking about like human rights issues, you know, social issues, considering others, or, you know, when someone doesn't consider others, doesn't, you know, respect people's autonomy, people's bodies, people's abilities or challenges. That's always been something that was like a hard line for me, and something that I would go to bat for. When I was younger, that meant something way different. I probably actually had a bat at one point when I was 15 or 16. I hope my daughter never listens to this when she gets older. But you know, that was a long time ago. That was 20 years ago. But my non-negotiables are still the same, and I may change the world. I mean, my approach may be different now. My bat may be different now. But I'm a very morally grounded person, and I do have certain times where I know that I have to go to bat for my friends, for my families, or a stranger. You know.
Yeah, no, it's a powerful thing, and so I'll share with you is when I did my TEDx talk, I was nervous for a lot of reasons, and so I brought my bat, and for me, it's also moving that energy. I don't know if you follow the energy, but that's what we did. That was probably sounds like what you did with all the raves and the mosh pits is you needed to get out that energy at that time. I mean, a teenage, and we were all there at some point, and how do you move that energy? And that's why I'm using the bat metaphor, and I bought a couple of bats so that way people, when I do my speaking engagements, I want to let them swing the bat because it's the moving that energy. It's not, again, it's not a violent. In no way am I supporting violence, but I love the way that how you explained it, and using your example of the mosh pits and what you needed to do to move your energy at that time. We all move our energy differently as we get older. Yeah. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, how's your podcast? I mean, I know you have. I know the Nickel Center has their podcast. You were saying about the news that's important to them.
Well, yeah. So that's that. We don't actually. That's a good point. We should probably put that on Apple Podcasts. But that's currently a video thing that's on Facebook and YouTube. That's Nickel Center News, and that's about like 3 minutes once a week. And I love that project. Then I have Sounds Like Autism, which is affiliated with Nickel Center. But that's one of my participants and I, who's a good friend of mine, Josh Mirsky. He and I talk about inclusion. Currently, we're on a virtual tour, as you said, of the most inclusive businesses and programs in the country, which has been really fun. That's a once a month thing where we highlight a different state or a different place and talk about what makes it special and kind of talk about like best practices and try to inspire others to get involved and start. Start a social enterprise or you know, just help create a more inclusive world for all. So that Sounds Like Autism. That's going really well. And then I have my new thing with our friend George Andriopoulos, which I'm really excited about. I'm not sure if he talked about it on the show. I forget. But we have George and I have been friends for a couple of years now, and we've always wanted to collaborate on something productive and something impactful. What we've been joking around about is about where we landed. And now that we finally have a little time to do this, it's not necessarily impactful. It's not necessarily productive, and that's okay too. So George and I are both dads. He's got 3 kids. I have 1. He has 1 kid under 1. I have 1 kid that's under 4. And we're both hardworking guys. We're both do-gooder guys, and we're both really corny people with a lot of heart and really silly senses of humor. So we're starting a project that's called Over My Dad Podcast, like Over My Dad Body, Over My Dad Podcast, which we're both really excited about. And we have no agenda. We have no plans. It's kind of a little Seinfeldian, you know, in that like it's kind of a show about nothing. I mean, we have plenty to talk about. And every time we've we've recorded, it's been a really good time. And I think that it's going to resonate with a lot of, it's not just about fatherhood. But it definitely touches on being, you know, family oriented guys, being, do-gooders in both the for-profit and nonprofit spaces, being content creators and just a lot of pop culture and news related stuff. No religion, politics, sex, COVID, none of that stuff. But we do talk about like current events and things like that, and we're seeing where it's going, and it's been a blast, and it's a great outlet for me to be able to talk about my experiences as a dad and as someone who's been working in my field for a long time and has kind of been getting asked a lot of questions about what that's like. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I heard the first episode and I'm excited. I knew about it. I didn't know anything. I know George had shared your premiere, your trailer video, and I was, you know, cracking up about it. Definitely 80s, 80s look, and I can't wait.
Right, and it's not an 80s themed podcast, but right. We're both, you know, he's 41 or so, I'm 34, and we both grew up on things like Full House and really corny shows like Saved by the Bell and stuff. And you know, when we're finding this common ground, we realize that we would love to make it super super cheesy, the trailer. So yeah, check that out definitely on all our socials. Go to Instagram, Over My Dad Podcast, or on Facebook, Over My Dad Podcast. It's good stuff. Check it out. You got to see it to fully understand.
All right, I've taken up enough of your time, and you have so much information, and I could probably spend much more time. Is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with? Because you've given us lots of great information. Is there anything specifically you'd like to, like, kind of as your end statement?
No, thank you so much. Again, I think that this is a really impactful space to be able to have these conversations. So I'll come back anytime. Thank you. And I already plugged, you know, a bunch of my projects, and you'll put them in the show notes, I guess, but TNCNewYork.org is the Nicholas Center, TNCNewYork.org. We have thezoomiverse.com, which is our virtual learning and leisure platform for teens and young adults with autism and related learning differences. SpectrumBakes.org, SpectrumDesigns.org. I'll send all that stuff, and I really appreciate you being, you know, providing me an opportunity to be able to do that. So thank you.
All right. No, thank you. I enjoy the conversation, and I enjoy moving the dial a little bit on stigmas, removing stigmas and knowing how productive we all can be. You just have to find what our specialty is. And that's really the case for everybody. So we're just going to end it. So I'd like to end this episode of Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. Just to remind everybody, peace and love might be easy to find, but when you find your bat, make sure you find your sweet spot and make sure that it's always something that's productive for you. I am really glad that you're enjoying the show, and I hope you follow us on all the podcast hosting sites, as well as Facebook, Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat, or you can follow me, Uncle Dave, David Chemetsky, at Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse, and www.davidchemetsky.com. I also would enjoy for you to contact me if you want to just have some feedback. You need somebody to talk to. At peacelovebringabat@gmail.com. Love to hear your feedback. Well, my friends, today's journey has come to a close. I hope the seeds of peace and love continue to grow for each one of you. Remember, the peace and love surround you that will assist you to rise again. And don't forget to bring a bat for what you believe in. Namaste.